The first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. A vision compels Paul to move his ministry into Greece. There he meets Lydia, an important person in the business community whose heart has been opened by God to receive the gospel. Her conversion and baptism provide the impetus for the founding of the church at Philippi. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia, pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our hospitable Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout this Easter season, we've intentionally spent some time in the book of Acts. We've been exploring the unexpected nature of God in the early Christian church. God continually revealing God's self in unexpected places, reaching unexpected people, all the while providing an unexpectedly unlimited amount of grace to a world in need. Easter morning, I invited you, as the women at the tomb, to share in the perplexity of God's unexpected nature as we venture together through the journey of faith. In genuine wonderment of God's activity, we see new and faithful ways God is working in unexpected ways with unexpected people, which I would argue is the narrative of the entire Bible, especially in the life of Jesus. And so we dove into the book of Acts. The wild experiences of a new church rooted in Jesus Christ, trying to find and figure out its way, one adventure at a time. Ultimately reshaping the imaginations of those early Christians and Christians ever since then. Thus far, we've heard of Peter's activities. A bold Peter who, despite spending time in jail and being threatened with much worse, proclaims God's authority in his sharing of the good news. Likewise, 2 weeks ago, we saw Peter imitating the miraculous abilities of Jesus by restoring the life of Tabitha, a woman who herself devoted her life to imitating Jesus through good works and charity by providing clothing and a safe community for widows. Last week, Peter witnessed to a vision in which his world was turned upside down and the Holy Spirit entered into the Gentile community, culturally a rejected group of people that one was to stay away from. Ultimately, he realized that God had named them good, and he would not get in the way of God's work amongst God's people whom he's deemed worthy. which, as we know, is all of humanity, regardless of the distinctions that we make as human beings. This all happens, all this activity happens because of God's activity, an unexpected activity. God's activity out in the world ahead of the apostles and us alike. And now this week we see it with Lydia and Paul. Again, God is in the unlikely places, bringing unlikely people to faith, calling them as God's advocates to the same work the apostles are doing. Not much is known about Lydia. Many assume she is wealthy because she deals the rare material of purple cloth and is able to provide hospitality to Paul and his fellow travelers. However, she very well could have been on the opposite end of the economic spectrum. Dyeing purple cloth, you see, is a nasty process, leaving one smelling foul, even like urine. Combine this with her being a foreigner and hanging out in the outskirts of town, it's just as likely that she herself is an outcast. Or maybe a third option, a good Lutheran response would be the both and. She was both and resourceful and outcast. Regardless, what we do know about Lydia is that she's gathered at the river with other women. She worships God, and God has opened her heart to listen eagerly to Paul this day. In the spirit of the good news, she is baptized along with her whole household. She then urges and compels them to stay at her home. In Acts, this hospitality is a very common event. Throughout the stories we hear in the book of Acts of one hearing and receiving the good news of Jesus the Christ, the hearer then extends hospitality to the messengers, the exception being the eunuch who is traveling through the countryside. This hospitality, this inviting in, forges and deepens the community of believers in Christ. I want to point out here that it's not Paul who extends the hospitality. Rather, Paul is the one who receives it. It's not because he's a Christian or a good Christian. It's not because Paul saved these women, saved their souls, or it's not because of he deserves it. These are very troublesome and terrible misteachings of privilege of our church today. No, Lydia hears the good news, and her open heart has plenty of room to welcome others. Lydia hears the good news, and her open heart has plenty of room to welcome others. That was God's doing before the apostles even arrived that day. God being out ahead of us is in itself unexpected. Christians have the illusion that we are the sole bringers of God's message of good news for the world. It's as if without us, God would somehow be lost. Now, don't get me wrong. Our proclamation is a key part of the equation, but it's not the only part. God is present in people preparing hearts and minds with God's love and grace. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised in our gospel lesson today, is always out ahead of the church. That is, the body of Christ, the community, the gathering of believers, not physical buildings, groups of people. One body in Christ. And with the Spirit being out ahead of the believing body, hospitality and charity is a pillar of that life of faith. Whether that is being extended from those believers or be extended to those believers. Do you see the mutuality in this? Do you see the mutuality here? It's not just a one-way give. It goes both ways. Because of God's activity out and about, we have the opportunity to be out receiving that hospitality from others. Particularly in diverse arenas that God will use to expand new to us realities of God's expansive grace. We can't solely get that from an hour or so of worship from the same group of people who look and act and believe just like us. Like Paul, may the Spirit lead us down to the river, those places to join others in their places of worship. Think beyond church buildings here, brothers and sisters. People are praising God in their homes, in public places, nature, homeless shelters, prisons, anywhere imaginable. God is there and God is being worshiped. Where is the Spirit drawing you? Where is the Spirit drawing you? Where is the Spirit drawing this community of faith? Christian witness is enriched and happy to trust newcomers, led by women like Lydia and other saints willing to take risks. It creates community, even if those communities attract scorn from others. That witness, born from an empty tomb, not far from a site known for mass execution, knows how to take up residents outside the walls. What a beautiful place to go to meet God. What a beautiful place to go to meet God. Scripture reveals to us time and time again that God's activity, the gospel, the Holy Spirit are unpredictable. God provokes God's followers by showing up in unexpected places, reaching unexpected people, lavishly providing unlimited grace to an unexpecting world. We've experienced this in our own journeys, and we pay witness to it in the journeys of others. Let us venture down to the river, venturing down to share in God's hospitality with fellow believers, embracing one another in the joys and sorrows of life, receiving God's sustenance and healing. And may it, as God intended, deepen and draw ever so closely to the unexpected community of believers. Amen.